Take me where the promises are real.
Let's have an AA meeting. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speaker Meeting at the Nava Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more sobriety tells his or her story. Hi everybody, I'm Sarah and I am an alcoholic. And hello Nava and AA family. Glad to be here tonight. Nava Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, and I must have this thing. Now, I get to introduce our speaker tonight, and tonight's speaker is Helen R. She has 51 years of sobriety, and she must have gotten sober when she was a very small child. So, she's very young at heart. She has a great sense of humor, and I'm sure you will enjoy hearing Helen R.'s story.
My name's Helen, and I am an alcoholic. I got a communication I wanted to mention to you just to relax me and maybe the rest of you. Something about sharing my story before picking up my first white chip. I never picked up a white chip. They didn't have white ones or red ones or yellow ones or green ones when I got sober. And when they came in, I don't remember what year, some of you might, but shortly, maybe 2-3 years after I got sober, and I didn't care for them. And someone walked over and asked me to give them out, and I refused to give them out because I would have had to got up. If they had given white chips out, I would have had to got up who knows how many times. Who's counting? The secretary, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, they had a book that they put the date of your last drink. Every group probably has that. For the membership, because they want the date of your last drink if you want to share that. And they give you maybe a bronze medallion. It's $2.50. The chip costs 40 cents now. I don't know what they did. Probably didn't count, cost that much in the beginning. But she had to rub out the date ever so often. I thought I had to go back and tell her when I drink again so she could change my date. And it got a little thin. Paper got a little thin. So, and I was kind of embarrassed about having to go back and tell her. Nobody told me I had to, but I thought that was the rule. And so I decided I wouldn't say. I wouldn't go back. I did two things right. I got a sponsor and I never stopped going to meetings. But I did write on the back of my calendar, so include my husband wouldn't know, like he didn't know, and LD. You know what LD means? You got it. Because I wanted to have my last drink. I didn't know how to have it. I'm sitting in an AA meeting, and I'm hearing stories, but I didn't know how. And I now know why, I think. I got a call, maybe 3 months ago, and the girl said over the phone to me, "How do you stop drinking?" And I said to her, "I don't know how, but let's go to a meeting and find out." And do you know how? It's puzzled families for many, many years. Because they, or at least mine, did everything they could think of. Like maybe cutting down, you know. That ought to be workable, right? So I came to the conclusion that if I could find out which drink made me drunk, I would do fine. You know, because I didn't want to keep causing trouble. And I did cause trouble. Caused it to the police. You know, they had a little trouble with me because I drove sometimes. And I fussed at them, but they didn't pay any attention to me. So I thought if I could find out which drink made me drunk, I would be okay. And I would just walk around and not make an argument or a fuss. And so it took me about, 2 weeks to figure this out. So I decided if the only way I could find which drink made me drunk was to go and measure them. So I took the children to school. I stopped and got a little whatever you call those things. And got a piece of paper while the children were in school and started writing. I'd pour it, and I was going to be through with this experience by 3:15. I had to pick up the kids at 3:15, so I had to leave the house around 3 and go pick them up. So I'd be through with it. And I would know which dream made me drunk. So I would stop one less than that tomorrow. Made sense to me. So the deal, everybody here that's ever tried anything like it and said, might as well take a drink, what's the use? That's in the big book, by the way. And I couldn't read which drink made me drunk. I lost that battle. Let me, I brought this up to read it. Somebody made this cover for my book. Isn't it fancy? It says Helen's book. I still carry it around. It says, "For God's sake," on my page is 14, "how did I ever get started again? Only to have that thought supplanted by, well, I'll stop with a 6 drink. Or, what's the use? Anyhow, ? I said that. What's the use? I tried. I tried measuring them. I tried getting my husband to drink with me. I told him we wouldn't have any trouble if he just could drink with me. And he couldn't. He was a social drinker. Didn't do for him what it did for me. So, I didn't like it, but he couldn't. I figured he might stop watching me if he had a few with me. So anyway, some of my friends are here, and they came over some miles. They didn't come from Alabama. It's in Georgia they came from. So I, in the rain, and I appreciate that. I really do. One of them got sick because it was raining. Now, I don't know if I believe that, but I said, now, be honest with me. Of course, she was, you know. Anyway, since I never got a white chip, I don't know how to tell you my story. I'm laughing at that. It's not funny. It's new to me, though. And my sister-in-law lived next door, my husband's sister. She came down to me and talked to me about Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, this is a for you, and a hard copy of the meeting schedule. And I don't know why I said yes to going. She would pick me up and take me. And she knew the trouble. She lived next door. And I had three children. And they went to her house sometimes. So I read Is AA for You? You know, there are 12 questions in there. And I got 11 right. Didn't tell anybody. And I got one I said no to. And that one said, does your drinking interfere with your job? Something like that. I didn't work. So. Then when I got more honest over a period of time, I realized it did interfere with my job. I was a mother. I was at home. There were three children. And you can imagine some of that lack of being able to be there for them. Now and then, I wasn't. So, I had to go back and get honest on that one. So, that was a good place to get honest. Also, I thought, and it mentions that in the big book, what we read, no human power could have. You know that one, ABC. And I was expecting a human power to get me right or better or understand, and nobody understood. I even began to have these thoughts that they'll be sorry when I die. And I could just picture this hearse with all these cars back of me. And I'm dead, and it's hearse. I was thinking about this. And I thought, and that family is going to be sorry. And then I had you know how we call it spiritual awakening? It came to me, wait a minute, I don't have any friends left. They left me. I interfered with their life. They interfered with my drinking. And I said, wait a minute, there'd only be a family, one car back of that hearse, because they'd be ashamed not to do it, and there'd only be one car. So I decided I better not die, you know? And it wasn't that funny. It's interesting, though, my first AA meeting, I walked in and they were laughing. And here and there during the meeting. And I thought to myself, they must not have the trouble I have, because they are laughing about it. They do not understand. How about that one? Because I was in me, how bad I felt, the remorse, the different things that happen. It sits there. And so I decided that I'd keep sitting there, though maybe something would rub off. And I did want to have my last drink. And I think I took the first step before I ever got to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I didn't know what that first step was, but it was facing that my life was unmanageable. I didn't use that word. You know, I planned to be dead. So I began to look at what that meant. And I think I had my last drink on the second step. I still feel that way. Let's read it. So I'll remember it. Where is it? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was just talking about sanity with a sponsor of mine earlier, and she was telling me a story about someone, and I thought, that's why Bill put the word insanity in here. Because I thought that was, I was not insane. But to do the same thing over and over is insanity. So I got a sponsor, and I remember sitting in an AA meeting with, she was there. We both belonged to the same home group, Skyline group, that many years ago. And everybody was talking about the fourth, fifth step. And she knew I had not taken mine. Of course she knew. And, of course, we talked about it. But everyone there had taken their fourth step but me. See? What we hear sometimes. Now, I don't think there were probably 50 people in that room. I don't think everybody had. But that's what I heard. So, I said, I took my fourth step too. And now, I'm just worried about taking the fifth step. She was sitting there. And she knew I had not. She called me the next morning. And she said, go get your big book and let's read something about the fourth step. And she didn't say I lied. I didn't say I lied. She knew I knew I lied. And I knew she knew I lied. So, you know, why talk about it? So there's one way to take your fourth step. And I don't even use the word, I don't recommend it, because this is my story. And you have yours. However it's done. And willing to do it. I did. Now, I put her on a pedestal. It was very hard for me to tell her anything about my life. And so the first fourth step I took was on my husband. Wrote all about him. And I gave it to her. And she got back to me and said, you know, that's fine that you did that, but it's not your fourth step. It's taking someone else's inventory. And I said, what are you talking about? I hadn't even thought about the word inventory then. And but she was pretty clear about it. And I used to say in meetings, I'm new. You know I'm new. And then I'll tell you all about it, you know, about the program. And one day she said, Helen, how long is a bride a bride? And you know, brides aren't brides very long. Some of you ladies know that. I don't know about you guys, but I got it. And I thought, okay, I need help. It's okay to ask. In fact, sometimes I get more help. Now people won't drive me around. Not used to that. I don't think I'm going to get used to it. Maybe when I'm 89. Maybe when I get 95, I'll give up. Maybe. I don't know. But that's not today. So I go on. I am still having trouble with the third step because I did not yet look at a higher power, except when I looked at the second step. I thought, okay, I can do that. I can turn my drinking over, I think, and I did, as far as I knew how. But some other things I did not turn over. I kept doing some of those things, not drinking, because I didn't want to drink. I wanted what you had, and I kept showing up and being the belle of the ball. Sometimes, I tell you. And I felt so important. I remember going to a meeting because I was supposed to meet someone in Marietta, I think it was, and she didn't know me. She wanted to meet me, and I said, okay, so I show up, and I don't know what she looks like. I've never seen her, and somebody walked up to me, saw me looking around, thinking I was new, and I wasn't, and I said, oh, I'm looking for Jane, and she said she'd be here to meet me, and I'm from the central office. She said, what's the central office? I never said that again. On my journey, though, the character defects that, and I love to call them character defects because that sounds pretty good to me when you hang up a holder. Real words, and I learned not to say, use the word slip. That Al-Anon have slips. I heard an Al-Anon say that. I don't use it, not because they do, just because it wasn't a slip. And I looked back on my drinking and I said, I didn't slip. I didn't know how not to drink because I didn't have what it took to use the program and use the steps and use the message. And slowly but surely I stumbled forward, though, as long as I didn't drink. I tell people now, newcomers, as long as you don't drink, you have a chance to get better. And I also thoroughly believe if you ever get to an AA meeting, your chances go up. I believe that. And I know it doesn't always happen. I'm aware of that. But I believe our chances go up. Mine did. And I imagine some of yours did. And coming back, just, I know people that come back over character defects, and I was one of those. To go forward, I remember something about making amends, by golly, and it took me a while to do that because it was kind of embarrassing. But I remember calling an Al-Anon one time because she would get up and leave the room. I'm sober now, I'm talking about sober. She'd get up and leave the room when I walked in, open AA meeting. And finally, I had an opportunity to call her and say there was a party going on to celebrate something, and all my friends were going. I picked up the phone and I called her and said, would you rather I not come? And she said, I would rather you not come. And so I didn't. But the day came when she hugged me. See, because, you know, the Lord's Prayer says something about forgive us our trespasses as we, blah, blah, and you know it. And I want forgiveness, so I have to give it. It gets easier. I guarantee it gets easier. because I keep thinking I want it. So it gets easier to give it over the years. Do you know there's a word called resentment that I began to have trouble with? Personalities. You know, there are a lot of personalities in the program. In case you haven't noticed. Take it from me. And somebody one day, I'd said one word in a meeting to a discussion leader. I just said no out loud up front because she said, oh, I'm not supposed to, whatever. And I said, you're right, or no, you're not, or something like that. So somebody needed to speak to me after the meeting, one of the ladies. And if anybody walks up to you and says, I need to speak with you, go the other way. And I thought she wanted me to help her. I said, oh, isn't this wonderful? She needs my help. But she's told me what was it you call it? Talk back and forth. Yeah. And I didn't. I just told that girl, no. Anyway, so I decided not to speak to her. We were a member of the same group. Wasn't hard. You know, I'm not going to speak to everybody here tonight, one on one. But I knew I wasn't speaking to her. She didn't know I wasn't, but I knew it. And that is where it is. What I know, one of my sponsors had several because they would get sick and I got old, but they didn't stay around as long as I did. And Maggie, some of you remember Maggie, and she used to say in meetings, it's better what I know than what you know about me. It's better I know. And I thought, I wonder what she means. Okay. I heard a joke one time, and I have to tell it. Some of you already heard it. Sometimes I don't get it right, but you'll get it. It was cold, let's say in Minnesota, it was snowing like it is now. And this lady was worried that she wouldn't be able to get out and get some food for her pet dog. And so she was about to run out, so she better go on to the pet store and get this dog, whatever you get for a dog. And so she drove up to the pet store and went in, and there was a parrot sitting up on a next to just as she walked in the door, and that parrot said, oh, you're ugly. You are so ugly. She went over and told the manager, I'm not going to buy anything here. Aren't you ashamed of teaching that parrot those words? And she left. And he went over and took the parrot and said, if you ever do that again, out in the cold you go. It was snowing, and it was cold. So, but she had to come back because that was the closest place. She still needed the food. So she came back in, and she slowed up as she walked in. There sat the parrot, and he didn't say anything. She went on in, bought her supplies, came back, started by him again. He says, you know, she comes slow a little bit, doesn't it? And so I got what she said. You see, I know. And I believe because it really gets rid of resentment. You can borrow it if you'd like, it works, is to know since I feel this way, and I knew Maggie did, and that was the message she was giving, and some of us got it, I'm sure I did, that if I know, that other person knows. I used to think we sit down together and had this heart-and-heart talk, blah. You know, sometimes it might take putting things on the table. Now and then it does, but not always. And because if I know, they know. They're not so different. I'm not so different. I'm not supposed to say they, I'm supposed to say me. I am not so different. I do know. I might like to deny. I may fuss about it. I may give my reasons and excuses. But when I go to bed and wake up at 2 a.m. with it on my mind, then I know. I really do know. And I have to get up at 4:30 by choice, I'm sure. I don't have to. And who wants to wake up at 2 a.m. and stay awake an hour thinking about what one knows about someone else? It's better to know it about me. And so my sponsees let me sponsor. And most of them listen. And I've gone into principle. And because the book mentions it over and over, and to think about, you know, let me say this, it's time for me to go, that little note said that, I'm kidding, Tim, wherever he is, that I was born in LaGrange, Georgia, married at 16, had three children. And if you had not been born in LaGrange, Georgia, and had three children, married at 16, you would not understand. Do you get that principle? If you weren't exactly... So, identification isn't just about alcoholism. It's about character defects. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. Bill knew that when he wrote the big book. I thoroughly believe that because he used the word a lot in the book. That the principle is, it may not be the same thing, but it's the thinking and the attitude that's the same. Anyway, I was supposed to be in the steps, wasn't I? And I got out of them. But yet I stayed, didn't I? Right? That's no. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. That was awesome. We have asked Michael to come up and pass out the chips.
Thank you, Sarah. Hey, everybody. I'm Mike. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I was around when they started having these, but I was my first home group's intergroup rep back when Speedy Moore was leading that whole charge about, you remember the whole thing about should we put AA on the chips or not? And, you know, I loved it because I'm always up for a good fight, always have been. Here at NABA and lots of other places all around, we offer poker chips just to mark our time in the program. If you're new in the program or you're coming back from a drinky poo or two, we offer a white chip. Is there anybody who wants a white chip tonight? Okay. After 30 days, we offer a silver chip. I think this is kind of new for the group. I think we have a 60-day chip. Is that right? 2 months. Anybody? 2 months? How about a red chip for 90 days and 1,000 nights? How about 6 months? Half a year without a beer? 9 months? Anybody? Helen used to tell me that for every 10,000 white chips she ordered down at the central office, she ordered 300 green chips. Anybody for a blue chip tonight? Any birthdays? All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Ellen, for telling your story. My name is Cheryl, and I am an Elkie, and this is 30 years.
Thank you. Woo!
I was sitting right back there 30 years ago on a Friday morning, and Shaky Sam was doing the meeting, and Don Shear got up, was giving out the chips, and Don's quite a character, and he said, "Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired?" And that's exactly what I heard, and that's what I was. And I came up, and I picked up that white chip, and I only had to pick up one white chip. And you don't have to go back out. You don't have to, unless you want more misery. You can't. But, you know, I was a little Alateen here. My mother was in the program. And, you know, now that means a lot to me. And I see other, you know, I see a lot of old faces, Miss Julie and Helen. But I see a lot of new faces, because that means AA works. And I'm just so grateful for my life today, and I'm so grateful for the problems I have today. And thank you again, Ms. Helen, for sharing your story.
My sponsor, okay, used to say there are no big deals in AA, but he'd say that was a big deal. Anybody else for Blue Chip tonight? Anybody just come to out of a blackout? Reconsider on a white chip. Congratulations on what you got.
Thank you, one and all, for joining the Blue Chip speaker meeting tonight.
First I slip, and then I crept to a hope-filled dream. You rescue me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promises are real. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, stride for stride, we walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart that beats for me. Takes me where the promises are real. And I always long for something that sets me free. Promises are real.